You're listening to SBS News.
Vaccine dose donations can be questioned and scrutinised if an agenda is involved in the process.
It is a moment that in history we'll look back and we will either be proud of ourselves or embarrassed. So it is certainly a time for countries to reflect on their humanitarian approach to this.
Professor Mary Louise McClaws, an epidemiologist and an advisor to the World Health Organization, is assessing the rise of vaccine diplomacy and how it will be defined in history. Is it coercion or altruism, or a bit of both? A new report by the Economist Intelligence Unit says vaccine distribution tactics open up new influence frontiers for governments and leaders to wield geopolitical influence. Imogen Page Jarrett, research analyst from the Economist Intelligence Unit, says China and Russia are selectively sending millions of vaccine doses to developing countries to court favours and compete where Western powers have a limited presence.
Russia and China are aiming to establish themselves as reliable suppliers of vaccines, strengthen their global presence, and boost their bilateral relations with many emerging countries where Western influence is declining. And Russia and China are playing the long game when it comes to vaccine diplomacy. Their intentions are not just to win plaudits for a short-term need, it's also to cement their influence over the long term. So Russia and China hope that the recipient states will prove grateful and find it hard to say no in the future if Russia and China ask them for a favour.
Professor of Politics and International Diplomacy from Curtin University, Joseph Siracusa, says powerful countries have developed strong vaccine diplomacy operations as part of wider preparations for future global crises.
Whether it's military diplomacy or celebrity diplomacy with Angelina Jolie selling, you know, the United Nations, or medical diplomacy, that's what this falls under. This is a management of medical relations between states. Nations tend to negotiate or they have leverage. Now, if you're sitting on 300 vials of vaccine that you're not using, and the head of the WHO says you're a selfish bastard for not using it and that you'll be held accountable, that's a lot of pressure, right?
So what is vaccine diplomacy? It is the use of vaccines to improve a country's diplomatic relationship and persuasion over other countries, strengthen regional ties, or enhance global status. Ms. McClaws does not support deals or donations that have underlying terms.
This diplomacy, it can't come with a condition. If the vaccine diplomacy comes with strings, it's dangerous. Just do it and reap the rewards as you would from a neighbour reaching out to, you know, cook for you while you're sick. And that's the sort of diplomacy it should be, the diplomacy without any strings attached.
In February, 500,000 doses of the Chinese Sinopharm vaccine were donated to Pakistan, followed by smaller amounts to Cambodia, Nepal, Sierra Leone and Zimbabwe. China now plans to export vaccines to almost 100 countries, many of them free of charge. But does anything really come for free? Mr. Siracusa describes it as life-saving policy, but it can be interpreted differently.
So if you don't want to give your neighbor your vaccine, or you want to hoard it for your own people, this pretty much tells you the nature of the beast that you're dealing with. I think it can be seen as both selfless, particularly if you're in the mood to help your neighbors, and it's selfish that as it pursues it adheres to the nation's national interests.
Russia's Sputnik V vaccine has been delivered to around 70 countries, mostly in Asia, Eastern Europe and South America. An anonymous European diplomat recently told the BBC the search for vaccines in 2020 was similar to the race for spaceflight in the 1950s. This is potentially the most powerful tool of soft power that Moscow has had in its hands for generations. The Global Forecast report says that Western powers like the European Union and the United States have been mostly absent from the vaccine diplomacy scene. Ms. Paige Jarrett says China and Russia seek to build resentment against Western countries, who have pre-ordered more than half of the global supply of vaccines in 2021.
They could have some strings attached behind the scenes, or there could be an implicit understanding between the Chinese and Russian governments and the recipient countries. The donations could be in recognition of positive diplomatic relations with the recipient in the past. For Russia, we saw many of the donations are going to former Soviet Union members. And for China, its donations to Pakistan could be in recognition of that country's approval of many Belt and Road Initiative projects in recent years, or to Cambodia and Laos in recognition of their support for China's interests in the South China Sea.
So where does Australia stand in the conversation about vaccine diplomacy? Australia has offered a helping hand to several allies, such as India and Papua New Guinea, just to name a few. Director of the Lowy Institute's Power and Diplomacy Program, Hervé Lemayu, says there is growing disappointment over Western countries' limited role in the vaccine diplomacy space.
I think Australia has stepped up in its immediate neighbourhood, so in the Pacific Island states. Unfortunately, we're not there yet in terms of the onshore manufacturing of the AstraZeneca vaccine in Australia. So we can't play a bigger role in exporting vaccines firsthand. We think Australia can only ever be part of the solution. It won't be the solution. But we can play, I think, a more constructive role in the region.
As a member of the Quad Alliance, Australia has committed $100 million to help distribute 1 billion vaccines to Asian and Pacific Island nations by the end of 2022. Ms. McClaws warns multicultural members of Australia's community feel uncomfortable about having to pledge their allegiance to Australia helping certain countries and not others.
Vaccine nationalism is anything other than altruistic. It's like a board game that we're watching. There's a lot of guilt as well, but they're us. They're just us. They're all our cousins, and we need to keep them all safe.
But Mr. Lemayu says Australia's coronavirus foreign policy and vaccine diplomacy campaign could be improved.
There's a little bit of discomfort among the diasporas in Australia. You know, if you consider the fact that about half of Australia today were either born overseas or have parents who were born overseas, that means a heck of a lot of us, myself included, have family that are abroad. It just looks as if Australia's not taking this kind of broader, more charitable, more international, more positive approach to dealing with this pandemic. It looks like we're being a bit too precious.
Serbia, for example, is a small country described by experts as a champion in the field of vaccine diplomacy. Serbia imported vaccines from Russia and China and immunized a large proportion of its population, all before the EU's vaccine rollout suffered delays and other challenges. Mr. Siracusa admits vaccine diplomacy and foreign policy can get messy, but there's too much at stake for countries not to be proactive.
Can a bad nation, that is a nation that pursues bad foreign policy, can it actually do some good if it wants to give vaccines to somebody else? I mean, can bad nations do good things? I know good nations can do bad things. If a nation wants to make this part of its diplomacy and part of its world outlook and part of its outreach and part of its soft diplomacy, then it behooves them to contribute. When you help your neighbor, you're helping yourself. You know, if you got money for a hypersonic nuclear weapon, you got money to help your neighbor, okay? But at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself, if you didn't do anything and millions more people die, who's responsible for that? And so I think if nations that don't help right now will have blood on their hands.
For health and support measures currently in place in response to the COVID-19 pandemic in your language, visit sbs.com.au/coronavirus. Marcus Megalokonomos, SBS News.